This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey guys, and welcome back. Today's episode is going to be a really great one. This might be an episode that you want to listen to with your teen. We're discussing the dating playbook for teenagers.
This is going to be a good one. In fact, this is always a conversation in my house. Teenagers and dating, who's dating who wants to date who doesn't have a chance with who, you know, this is always the story in our house. A lot of girl talk.
You got some cute girls.
I know, they are cute. And it's not necessarily them. It's they're talking about their friends too.
No, but I prayed for moderate, you know, not too pretty daughters, and I didn't get my prayer answered.
Your daughters are beautiful.
Miss Wilgus is very pretty. Yeah. So
yes,
you didn't have a chance.
Listen, I will remind you though, that if you've got a household where dating is a common topic, you're kind of a bit in the minority, because high school kids do not date like they used to. So even though it can be complicated, and we want to talk about a common problem that happens, you know, if you are listening to this, good for you. You're actually going on dates, or at least concerned about dates, because dating has a real purpose. And the decline of dating was not some rise in purity and courtship that we're not going. It was this decline in social interaction. So good for you that you're really wanting to talk about this, and it's important in your family.
I think unintentionally, well-meaning Christian parents kind of get this wrong unintentionally. Because we put marriage rules on dating rules for our teens. And in order to be able to help them through this, coach them through this, whatever word you want to call that, parent them through this dating scene, scenario, dating years, we want to do it well, and it looks different. So I'm excited for you to share with us, Dr. Ken, what the dating playbook is for teenagers, because it's not the same as marriage.
It is not. And that's the first one. Dating in high school, in college, well, college, no, definitely dating in high school is not the same as marriage. And so, and you must, you know, how to handle that relationship is different. As I have said many times before, high school is not to girls, high school is not the place to find your husband. It's the place to find your bridesmaid. And you know, the friendships, the connections are huge, and dating can be okay. But, you know, we already talked about dating in one episode, which I think ended up on things like handling, you know, just the risk of them being alone together and all that kind of stuff, which is good. But like you said, Ashley, you know, I do get concerned about teenagers that come into my office and are kind of giving a little seminar about marriage relationship when you're a junior in high school. Wait, are you married? I didn't know that. So what do you think happens, Ashley, when you talk about, you know, parents that give the wrong sort of marriage advice? Do you have an example of that?
I do have one example. One of my daughter's friends was dating this guy at the time, and she kind of took on the role as this man, this young man, this teenager, is now kind of like my whole world, and I'm not going to pursue any more relationships, friendships with other guys, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. He's the only male, you know, that I want to pursue a relationship with. So I'm just not going to text my guy friends. I'm not going to, you know, snap them on Snapchat anymore because that would just be inappropriate because I'm in a dating relationship now.
That's very interesting. Jessica, any thoughts on that?
I have heard the same thing. And I have a, my oldest daughter really felt like she needed to continue to have friends, boys and girls. You know, she had boundaries about like not really spending a whole lot of alone time with those boys that she wasn't dating, but she also wasn't going to quit communicating with them because they were fun. They kept her laughing, you know, and they had a great time and they were good friends in a group. So, you know, I think that it's important to have both boy and girl relationships when you're in high school.
I agree. That's kind of a gray area though, because while I'll totally agree with you that, you know, virtually no marriage can do well if a husband spends a lot of time with his friend girls, that, you know, that's just not a thing. And there's no way the other way around that. No, my wife likes to hang with her guy friends on the weekends. No, that's not a good marriage. In dating, on the other hand, I think we would agree that, let's say our daughters are, you know, committed to this one guy and openly flirting all the time with all kinds of other guys, it would be reasonable that he's jealous of that. Mm-hmm. So I would try to, the only gray area I'd say is that, you know, friendship. Well, the first thing is never give up your friendships with other girls. You know, if you're a girl and guys the same way. But number two is that I think I can see a certain need to back up a bit on super close guy friendships or girl friendships. Cause that comes up a lot in my office. It's sort of like if you're really not interested in backing up and you still want to have, like, say a girl wants to have relationships with other guys just as close, but they're not my boyfriend, then you're probably not ready to be dating yet. Like, why do you need to commit anyway? Like it's so just wait until you can at least commit enough so that you're the person you're dating doesn't have to be jealous all the time. You know, so I think it's ironic of the different topics or points I wanted to make. That one I hadn't really even thought of because I can see that going both ways. There is some reason for, you know, if your daughter is telling you that her boyfriend just spends all his time with this group of girls and, you know, he talks to this one girl all the time, I think you can understand that she'd feel somewhat jealous of that, right?
Right. But at the same time, you don't have to cut off all relationships with the opposite gender just because you're in a dating relationship.
I think that's true. That's closer to a marriage relationship in that sense. And even then you don't cut off relationships, but you definitely, you know, you don't have good friends with opposite sex when you're married. That's just not, it's not healthy. So yeah, that's a good one. I hadn't even thought of that one. The one that I tend to think of is that when I have often a girl, but sometimes a guy, a Christian kid, who is talking about the troubles they're having in the relationship. We're arguing a bunch, you know, he's being mean to me. And she'll say something like, and I know that you need to kind of work through problems in a relationship. If you're committed, you need to work. It's not always going to be rosy and you need to work through it. And that's where I go, wait. No, this is dating. That's a marriage rule. Like you definitely need to work through with your spouse. But when you're having significant trouble getting along with your girlfriend or boyfriend, that probably means you need to break up. That's why we didn't get engaged. Instead, we're just dating because we're not ready to marry yet. So, but it's ironic. I don't get a lot of teenagers that agree with me on that. But it does worry me if there's adults that are even buying into that, that make it seem like, you know, that we want to teach our kid about marriage through how they're dating. Those are completely different things and should be, you know, made very clear that those are different things.
Well, you can admire that they're committed and they're loyal. Like maybe they're a committed and loyal friend,
right?
Just in general. But then of course they're committed and loyal to this boyfriend or girlfriend. But sometimes you're like, well, this is the whole point of dating, is to weed out the ones that aren't going to work out.
That's exactly
right. You know? And if you just keep dating the one that isn't working out, you're killing yourselves with these arguments and frustrating situations and not getting along. And that's not the point of dating.
And I always point out to them, I've said, well, why are you and this guy not engaged? Well, I'm 15. I'm not ready to be. Okay. Then that's the reason that you're also, you don't need to slug through this dating relationship. If he's being mean and you don't like him anymore, you break up. That's what mm-hmm. you do. Right. So that's, and so here's the other pointer, is that that's easier to do is if you are doing what I really worry is rarely happening, talking to your kids and teenagers about their future marriage, talking about it pretty regularly. Have you, you know, we're praying for your future spouse. Have you thought again about kind of when you might get married and all that? Because as I've said on this podcast before, it's stunning how many young people no longer answer whether they're going to marry or not. It's like, it's going to have to just kind of overtake them in some surprise move because they have no plans. They got plans for education, planned for, you know, for some kind of a career probably. But as for preparing for marriage, well, I hadn't thought about it. You haven't thought about it. That's not mm-hmm. good. So mm-hmm. it's a lot easier, you know what I mean, to make it clear that dating rule book is not the same as marriage rule book, because we've been talking to you about marriage for a long time, you know? And so that's another part of it, is that you need to be talking about marriage. Don't be afraid to ask, do you think this is the one? Do you mm-hmm. think you're going to marry this guy? Mom, I'm 14. What are you talking about? Then why are you dating exclusively? Why have you said no more callers if this guy is no possibility of being mm-hmm. the one? Like, aren't yeah. you trying to find your spouse? Doesn't that sound super old fashioned?
A little bit, but I totally agree with it.
Shut up. Yeah. You hurt my feelings. No, but yeah. it is. It's just, I think, if you know what I mean, I think that's rarely mm-hmm. talked about now. That sounds like 1935.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was so interesting. We had the funniest text with our group, our family group. So just my kids, my husband and I, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter made a list. She started a list and I think she had maybe 25 items on there of qualifications that she wanted in a husband. And they went from like loving Jesus with his whole heart to like no peanut allergies. That was
I think we're on different levels here.
That's funny.
You know, wants to have kids and also, you know, doesn't drive a motorcycle. I mean, it was funny things, you know, we were laughing, but my husband and I, because we were on this group text, everybody had a chance to pitch in on their ideas too. And I think it was a great conversation because we actually talked about, you know, important qualities that she may have left out and why we thought they were so important, you know, yeah. things like yeah. loyalty and commitment. You know, is this somebody who has had good relationships in his life yes. with his parents and his siblings mm-hmm. and his good buddies, you know, that sort of thing where you can judge character by seeing what is going on in the fruit of their life.
That's right.
And so we had a fun conversation about it, but it was definitely for her making that list weeded out a lot of possibilities. You know, it said, okay, I'm not going to date people that don't even have the first top five.
Yeah. Good point.
That's not even an option because that's a waste of my time. And I thought that was interesting and pretty mature for a 17-year-old. So,
right. Right. Yeah. I think that's a good point. Cause you know, that thing you mentioned about the track record of this person you're dating, did he or she have lots of boyfriend or girlfriends before you? Because mm-hmm. we know that there's no reason to hang on to a dating relationship for years for no reason. But at the same time, if you have someone that is dating and breaking up, we know actually from data that that's not actually someone who's practiced relationships. They practice divorce. They've done mm-hmm. a lot of breaking up and they get sort of desensitized to that. And that's not a good thing to take into marriage. So that would be also something to consider. I think it's right. Like, what is the history of this person? Have they treated their previous boyfriend, girlfriend, have they treated them well or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like that, Jessica, what you said about character. From the moment my kids were little, character training has been a big deal for us in our house. And I've always tried to pick out people throughout our day-to-day and point out good qualities or good character in them. And so it's just become, you know, a thing for our family, you know, yeah. like, oh, look at Miss Julie. She's being so diligent and doing her job and doing this and this and this. Right. Yeah. And so we just pick out these qualities, but as our teenagers start to date, I think it's still really important to talk about qualities because more often than not, they'll start, being interested in a guy or girl that we don't necessarily know too much about just yet.
Right.
And So you can ask, can I ask those questions or be like, what, you know, what's, what is it that you like about him again?
You know, that's exactly right. I ask that all the time. Like, oh, I've got a new girlfriend. Okay. So she's cute and nice. What else do you like about her? Because no one dates ugly, mean girls. So I know they already have that. Tell me something else. And, you know, early dating, younger dating is mostly kind of a marketplace. That sounds bad, but it's kind of finding your worth. Like, I think I can get a girl this good looking or a guy that's that. And, but you know, I like what you're talking about, Ashley. You really want to encourage them to move beyond that because, you know, you're not going to marry someone because of their looks other than tall. Did that make the list, Jessica? Was tall on the list of what you
Oh, of course. Of course. We ended up with like 50 items. This guy is impossible to find.
That's exactly right. But I think it's good to talk about the character of it. I'm, like I say, I'm constantly talking to teenagers about what about this person's personality? What does she do for you? What about how he treats you? And they're like, oh, well, no, he does that too. Really? Tell me about it. And they, you know, it's just harder. But when you get older, you do start recognizing the character traits. So that's good.
And I think, and I don't know if this is helpful, but I will always tell my kids when my husband does something that helps me or blesses me, like I'll point it out to my kids, like, hey, girls, you find you a man that does laundry. Hey, girls, find you a man that will help in the kitchen.
And say that in front of your husband so he knows you're saying it because we love that stuff. Like, yeah, yeah, you're right. I'm awesome. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Now, okay, so here's another one that is a common dating playbook mistake, and that is don't take this boyfriend or girlfriend on to be a member of your family. Yeah. Like, you really need, it is really tough. If a mom likes this boyfriend, for example, and really wants him to over more and likes even worse, if your mom likes your girlfriend and they're practically friends, well, that makes it harder to do what is often the right thing to do, break this off. Like now, and we've, I think we've talked about this before. There are families, rational people who take high school boyfriend or girlfriend on the family vacation.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That is an absolute. Now, does your kid want to take your boyfriend or girlfriend? Absolutely. And are we going to do it? Absolutely not. I believe after your honeymoon, we'll start planning something where we all travel together. But we're not going on a family trip with someone that you're just dating. That invites way too much intimacy, makes it much tougher. It kind of progresses things into a little marriage. It's very much what happens with sex, sexual intimacy is that, you know, if you're being sexual, your family likes him and we're all doing it together, you're about 2/3 married.
Right.
And so when they break up, that breaking up is far beyond a breakup of a boyfriend. It's like almost a spouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have to guard against those subtle ways that we still treat dating as if it's marriage. It is not. And it's important to not mix those two things up.
That's really good. And I can give personal example to that because when I was a senior, my parents were those crazy parents who allowed the boyfriends to come with us on a ski trip, but the boyfriend broke up. Both my sister and I were a year apart. Our boyfriends broke up with us prior to the ski trip. It was so terrible. One of them ended up not coming. We got a substitute. It was awkward. It was horrible. I mean, what kind of terrible trip was it for my parents? I'm
two
sure.
Things about that. I love hearing things where your folks goof stuff up because they're of the coolest people I know.
Yes.
And number two, nobody's going to believe that two boys broke up with you and your sister. You broke it up with them because that wouldn't happen.
No, they broke up. It was awkward. And, you know, it worked out okay that they broke up before and we found a substitute. But I think it would have been so much worse too if they had held on until we got home from the trip and then broken it off.
I know.
And that's what I think, you know, had my boyfriend not been discovered he was cheating on me.
Oh.
Had he not been discovered, he might've tried to go on the trip and then break up with me afterwards. Cause he was committed to it, you know?
Do you need to talk about that right now? Do you need to just tell us?
You know what? I'm so grateful. So grateful that my life turned out without him. So
isn't that true? Like, you know, when you're dating and then you find the person you want to marry, you know, it's like the old Windows operating system. When you'd click it off, the color of your background would just drain out into black and white. And it's like, what was I thinking when I was mm-hmm. dating these other people? Yeah. But you can't know that until you meet the one that you're going to marry. So,
yeah. So parents, do your teens a favor and don't take their boyfriend or girlfriend on vacation with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Take their even best
though everybody
friend.
Else. Yeah. Even though, yeah. I mean, like it's a common thing. Like I see parents of teens doing that all the time and mm-hmm. you hate to be that parent that says no, but no, just like everything else right. you've done in parenting, it's for their good.
And to mm-hmm. be honest, a lot of times that's sort of like parents who their only friends are their kids' parents. You know, it's like these parents want to go ahead and play like we've already got a son-in-law and because we think that's fun. And that's usually how that happens. And you need to remember that may be fun for you, but it is absolutely not good for your teenager.
I have 7 kids. I don't need another mouth to feed on a vacation.
That is so true.
So true. Yes. Yes.
Okay, and Dr. Ken, I have a question about dating and like their calendar, their agenda, their time. What do you think about teens who they're dating and they don't want to make plans until they check with their boyfriend or girlfriend? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's mostly on a marriage rule. Like okay. if there's any husbands watching, if you haven't learned this yet, never ever come home and tell your wife, oh, by the way, I invited, don't ever do that. Talk together about everything. But dating wise, yeah, I think that's a good example of two things. Number one, they're probably trying to spend too much time together. It mm-hmm. is perfectly reasonable to try to make some limits on, that's so great, you have this boyfriend, you can see him once during the week and once on the weekend, but not more or something. That's difficult. But you can certainly make those limits early on. Because remember, one of the things that's really changed dating into this sudden intimacy is texting. You know, you can meet someone yesterday and be pretty much in constant contact through texting. That is, as I've said over and over again, it's not real contact, but it kind of is. And you can kind of be in each other's at least virtual presence all the time. And that's too much, too fast. And mm-hmm. so at least, you know, making some limits on, I don't want you to spend that much time with this spouse of yours. You need to do something with your friends as well. It's with this boyfriend. You know, yeah. You need to not let your friends go. And that's just important. I would try to really keep pushing that as much as you can. Because remember, the answer to why can't we spend a lot of time alone? Sex, that's what it is. I don't mm-hmm. want you, I can't stop you, but I'm trying to help you not have sex. We're not going to be doing that, not today, but a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. So that's what we're trying to do. We know we can't make sure that doesn't happen, but we are trying to make those limits. And in this case, trying to help you not to feel like you're married to each other. Because you're dating. Mm-hmm. This boy hasn't made the cut yet. So mm-hmm. why are we doing this?
That's right. And so extending from that, what about college plans? So I have this friend of mine whose girlfriend is going off to this good, decent college, but her son has always had dreams to go to one of the big universities in Texas since he was little. It's maroon. That's all I'll say about it.
He's someone listening 10. Has already gone, whoop.
I know. He's top 10 in his class, right? And so like he's had these big dreams and he's worked hard and he wants to go off to the school, but him and his girlfriend have been dating for 2 years and she's going over here. And now he's thinking maybe he needs to go there too.
It's violating. I've said this before. I know one of the top rules of life, never, ever, ever go to college with a girlfriend or boyfriend. The rule is known as do not take a sack lunch to a buffet, which is a bad way to look at it. But you are about to expand. When you go to college, you're expanding your contacts of, you know, with people that you had no knowledge of before. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go there with the, hey, hold all calls. I already have found from my limited high school people, the only one for me. It virtually never works out. And I know it's kind of sounds weird because it's cute when you hear someone who has a, we dated since we were in high school story. Mm-hmm. But I think even those cases is look, keep dating her or him, but don't be exclusive, you know, yeah. So that when you get home, you can go on dates or whatever. But if you want to date other people in college, that needs to be what you can do, because otherwise it leaves you with only one option. You're going to sort of cheat on this boyfriend or girlfriend at home. That never feels good. Mm-hmm. So do not bring a sack lunch to a buffet. Always the rule.
I love that saying. If you learn nothing else from today's podcast.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Sounds crude. Let's mm-hmm. stick with the high school is not the place to find your husband, but your brides. I think that's sweeter, but they're both true.
The truth of the matter is, if that person is meant to be your spouse, it's going to endure those 4 years of being apart. You're going to go on. You're going to learn a lot of great things in college. You're going to mature and you're going to come back and be even better people together.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you can definitely crank it up in reminding them that, you know, once you're in college age, then you can be engaged. Like that's grown up first string ball going on there. That's big leagues. And so you need to think about being careful. It's not good to be dating for 7 years from our sophomore year until 3 years after we graduate. What are you doing? Why are you not mm-hmm. married? What is it you're waiting on? So mm-hmm. yeah, you need to crank that part up too, that you need to be careful about commitment, because you're definitely at a stage in your life you could decide to be engaged.
Well, I'm glad we had this episode. I know we've covered some of these topics in other episodes. Episode number 5, we talked about teen dating. We did that right off the bat. I guess it was super important to us.
I guess so.
Early in the podcast. And also episode number 29 and 30 was about sex and teenagers, part 1 and part 2. That was great. And Dr. Ken had a whole visual chart situation going on in those episodes. And then episode number 64 was about traveling with teenagers. And we did address the issue of traveling with boyfriend or girlfriend there. So if you're looking for more information about dating, or if your kid is just beginning this journey of dating and you want a little more to think about, join us there. We're glad that you could join us today.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.